The following is a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
He said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. We can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal. Let's go!
Welcome on in. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. We're going to talk a little Aberdeen Swim Club swimming with the head coach of the squad, Darian Street. He'll be joining us here a quarter past the hour. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra, Matt McClure. Oh, man, does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Oh, that sounds so good. All right, we're totally nerding out right now, and we're going to give you guys kind of a fourth wall break, I suppose. We've been having this problem with a buzz in the microphone here for a little bit of time. Perhaps some of you have heard of it, others maybe not, but we definitely hear it. And now, it's gone.
It's crystal clear now.
Oh, man, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's good. Good stuff by us.
Should we just take like a 5-second moment of silence here for the buzz? Let's do it. And go. Oh, man, that's perfect. Perfect. Oh, man. Awesome. I love it. Good stuff indeed. So a big shout out goes to you and Doc and Don Britnell out there helping us out. Nice crystal clear signal. It was a long time coming.
Yeah, it was. It feels good. It feels good to get something right.
All right. Well, and now the Sports Hub begins. Well, that's the definition of getting things wrong. We do that quite a bit of times. But you know what? When was the last time we got something right with our predictions?
September 6th, 2024.
Now, to be fair, we've made 3 predictions since then. So not a lot.
Yeah. But, well, the latest one was from Cordell Ricklick.
Yeah.
Central football, 5-4 the upcoming season.
That's TBD, of course.
Yes, so we'll have to wait and see how that all goes.
I'll have to wait and see, indeed. And looking forward to their season, looking forward to the Roncalli season. You were telling me the other day that their basketball season schedule, that's officially online. But, of course, we got to get to volleyball first and football first and all the fall sports and what have you. What are we now, 36 days away, I think, from opening kickoff of the season?
Yeah, August 22nd. Can't come here soon enough. I'll tell you what, I can't wait.
That's going to be a really fun season there for Roncalli and also all of our rural sports coverage that we'll have for you right here on our Hub City Radio family of stations. Of course, KSDN 930 AM and 102.1 FM, and a couple of select games over there on Sunny 97.7 as well with Matt McClure on the call. If you want to check out the full game schedule, would encourage you to do so on our website, hubcityradio.com. Click on the game schedule there. Click on the regional high school sports coverage tab, and away you go. We got a lot of games with Warner and Ipswich and Falkton, and we're going to be all over the place for sure. So it's going to be a fun schedule. And, you know, yesterday just gave us such an insight as to fall weather. It was kind of cloudy and overcast throughout most of the day. Got nice and sunny by the afternoon, but mid-60s, it felt like fall outside. And it got me jonesing for that autumn weather, man. I got to tell you.
Yeah, I woke up this morning. I needed a little hoodie. I'll tell you what, it was a little chilly this morning. It was mid-40s overnight. I couldn't believe it. But, yeah, we had some football weather. I was saying that on my morning show. Yeah, it's a little different here in mid-July having temperatures like that. Usually we're in the 90s, but that's how South Dakota weather works. It's crazy. One day it'll be 95 and sunny. The next day it'll be mid-50s, and you're just like, what in the world's going on here?
That's the way it goes from time to time, for sure. If you hate the weather today, just wait till tomorrow. It'll be completely different. He is Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Let's get to the jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And speaking of football, you know, I'm definitely in that football mode. Sent out all my questionnaires to the student athletes there. I'm working on my Penske file, so that's going to be a long time coming. It's a Seinfeld reference for anybody that knows. But the NFL season schedule is not that far off as well. Cowboys, Eagles, season opener, we're under 50 now, 49 days away from that. And I think I mentioned this last year, is the fact that the Cowboys weren't very good in 2024. Now, part of that is, you know, Dak Prescott was hurt, and they just weren't very good in general, even before Dak got hurt. I think they were 3-5 at the time of his injury. But I will tell you, it's one thing that's nice about the Cowboys not being very good last year is you didn't have them crammed down your throat every 2 seconds from the national media. And I'm kind of looking forward to hopefully another year like that this year. Big shout out to Paula Kruger. I know she's her diehard Dallas Cowboys fan, but now you can just kind of rip that Band-Aid off with week one. You'll have them first game of the week, that of course on Thursday, and then you don't have to worry about them on Friday night, because I think there's some Friday night games this year too with the Chargers, I think they're playing.
Chargers and Chiefs in Brazil.
Yeah, got that going on.
And division then, game in Brazil.
Yeah, make it make sense.
Makes zero sense, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the fact that just rip that bandage off. You got the Cowboys first thing. You don't have to hear about them for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, that Thursday game, tough draw for Cowboys fans. You're going to Philadelphia, your hated rival, and they're hanging up a banger or a banner.
Yeah.
That's got to be tough as a fan. But it's Cowboys fans, so I don't really care about it.
I know. I'm right there with you. And Brian Schottenheimer, their head coach this year. Totally random, isn't it?
That is such a random hire. Now, he's with the organization, so it made sense when you look at it, because I think he was he the OC?
Yes.
Yeah, he was the OC, so they just made him the head coach, but a lot of people were scratching their head. Didn't like the hire. You heard Deion Sanders' name being brought into the conversation,
right?
And then Jerry had Schottenheimer as the head coach, and I think it might be one of the first times he's a head coach. I know he's been an OC or a coordinator one way or the other with some other franchises. Obviously, at Marty Schottenheimer, his dad, that was a great NFL coach.
Right.
But, yeah, that was an interesting hire for me. I didn't think that one was going to happen at all.
I didn't either, and we'll see if it's a good one, bad one. On paper, it doesn't seem like it's a splash hire, but you know, sometimes you don't need a splash hire because Dallas has had some splash hires in the last 20-plus years, and none of them have yielded anything. So maybe a guy that's kind of under the radar could suit them well. We'll see.
I don't hate it for the Cowboys. Like you said, I was actually just going to mention that. Sometimes you just got to not have that, like you said, splash hire, somebody with a lot of name recognition that is proven himself as a head coach. You heard Bill Belichick's name. I think Mike Vrabel would have fit in really nice with the Cowboys too, to kind of change the culture. Obviously he's with New England, but and they lost that sweepstakes, but yeah, I think it could be okay for them, just because yes, it's the Cowboys, it's a big time team, America's team, and maybe you have this coach here under the radar. They're gonna be competitive. I think I'd say at max they get 10 wins.
Okay, we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. You mentioned Chargers and Chiefs there on that Friday night, and the Chargers, they came out with their old-school jerseys there, and it's kind of ironic because Jim Harbaugh was captured in the locker room saying, oh, I love the Navy. And it's like, well, there's probably a reason why you love the Navy. You wore those jerseys back in the day in the early 2000s. And Jim Harbaugh, of course, their head coach, he's going into year two over there. I got to tell you, the AFC West looks pretty salty. I think the Chiefs probably take a step back this year because, you know, they're just aging and free agency. It's just they're not going to sneak up on anybody. But the Chargers are pretty good. You've got Denver, who was a playoff team last year. Pete Carroll's now with Las Vegas. On paper, that division looks pretty good.
They had three playoff teams last year with the Chargers, Chiefs, and Broncos. And the Raiders are going to be better with the new head coach, with Carroll and what he's done. Now, I'm not saying the Raiders are going to make the playoffs, but I think they could be competitive and maybe win 6 to 7 games in their first year. We'll have to wait and see. But I'm not as sold as much on the Broncos as everybody. I think they're a team that they're going to take a step back. I think they got a little lucky last year with the rookie quarterback, Bo Nix. Does he have a sophomore slump? You got tape on him now. I think they're not going to be as good as they were. I think they're still going to be a competitive team, going to be right in the wild card mix, but I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. That's one of my hot takes, if you will, in the NFL.
I could see that. I think much like I just referenced with Kansas City, certainly not sneaking up on anybody, I feel like the same can be said for Denver. And, of course, given the fact they were a playoff team last year, you're going to play a playoff team schedule this year. So
Yes. We'll
see what that means for them going forward here this year.
I'm also waiting for the Chargers to do something here. Yeah. Everybody's talking about how great Justin Herbert is, and I think he's fantastic. But are you going to go out and win the division one time or two? I mean, geez. You got blown out last year against the Texans in the playoffs. The year before that, or I don't know if it was the year before that or 2 years ago, you blew the 27-0 lead against Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for them to get going here and win the division.
I've been hearing that from our buddy Cowherd at the top of the hour. He says that this is the year. This is the year now for the Chargers. And he's been saying this is the year for like the last 5 years. So at some point in time, it's time to go.
And you got second year of Jim Harbaugh now. You changed the coach. They didn't have a great coach before Harbaugh. This is the second year. You got that playoff experience. I'm looking for Justin Herbert to maybe stay healthy all year long because he's always dinged up, it seems like, and he's limping his way into the playoffs, and next thing you know, they get beat up. So I'm looking for him to maybe stay healthy, and if he has a big-time year, the Chargers could do some things.
Speaking of the Chargers, this popped up on my social media feed. I just had to share it. We're going football heavy with the jump here today, if you hadn't noticed. L.A. Chargers quarterback, you mentioned Justin Herbert. He says he's addicted to Subway. Herbert is always eating Subway, obsessed with their sandwiches, steak and cheese, chicken, bacon, and ranch, to name a few. So a Subway addiction for Justin Herbert. Kind of random.
That is very random. I do like the turkey sub from Subway, though, with the toasted Italian herbs and cheese hoagie roll.
Very sneaky. Italian herb and cheese. I like that.
It's really solid. I'm a Subway guy. It gets a good amount of hate from others. If I'm getting a sub, I'm going somewhere else. I enjoy Subway.
It's an extremely hot take amongst my friends that I'll take Subway over Jimmy John's. Sorry, Jimmy John's people, but I'm taking Subway. Why? Because I can get my sandwich toasted.
I did see something that Jimmy John's is starting to do toasting now.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
I don't know if it's 100% true on Facebook that I saw it, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they do that, it could change the game.
That could be a game changer, for sure. And obviously, we're here talking a lot about football, for sure. And this certainly popped up on my feed, and I thought to myself, even I, would I do it? Would you watch this entire game 5 times over if it meant you could get football back tomorrow? Question is, Seahawks and Bears, that Thursday night right after Christmas this last year. Remember that 6-3 game?
That game was terrible.
As a Seahawks fan, you know me. I take my Seahawks football very, very seriously. And I don't know if people know this or not, but typically when I'm watching Seahawks games, I don't drink alcoholic beverages.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I drink a lot of water during games just to stay hydrated. I'm up and down. I'm moving around a lot. But that game made me drink white wine. That was a game I was like, I can't, like, it was like midway through the second quarter and it was trending that way. And I was just like, I need to get me some wine. This game is brutal.
That was bad football at its finest right there. Those two teams. Didn't Seattle win that game too?
6-3.
Yeah, that was a brutal game. I remember the Bears, they had the ball in plus territory. They couldn't do anything with it like the entire game it felt like. So, yeah, I'd watch that game 5 times over if it meant we got week 1 tomorrow.
I think I would too. I think I would too. This is the doldrums, man. I mean, you've got no baseball right now, no basketball, no NBA. I mean, you got summer league basketball, I guess, but
yeah.
No hockey, no football. We're getting closer and closer, though. We're, I think, what, 2 weeks away officially from the Hall of Fame game? Lock it up. I'm all in.
Yeah, well, I'll be watching some of it, to say the least.
I don't know about all in, but I'll watch a piece of it.
I'll watch maybe a quarter. Hopefully they play some starters.
Was it Chargers in Detroit this year, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Chargers, Detroit. I think teams are starting to report for summer or training camp on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that.
If nothing else, hopefully to see the Chargers throwback jerseys.
Yeah, that'd be dope. Now, would they break that out for the NFL Hall of Fame game?
Probably not. But I'll be curious to see what those look like come actual season time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to training camp getting started. That means Hard Knocks is getting started with the Bills, which I'll watch. Have you been staying up to date with quarterback? Have you watched any other episodes?
I watched about an episode and a half or so. Haven't gotten into much more because I was watching the ESPYs last night. By the way, Shane Gillis was absolutely hysterical.
Fantastic.
I mean, that guy, I mean, you used the word goated. Yeah. He's got to be up there right now for stand-up comics in 25.
You know, I wish they had another camera just at the another camera pointing at the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had some things that he said, and it didn't really hit with people, or they were just looking at each other like, did he just say that?
Or, like, if there is a camera on them, they're like, are we allowed to laugh at this
joke?
Yes. Yes, you are. This is comedy. This is what it's all about. Like, if you can't poke fun at yourself, we do that all the time on this show. We're always constantly laughing at each other and ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, like, don't take yourself so seriously all the time.
How about when he mentioned that SGA was the foul merchant and the guys around him looked really upset about it?
Yeah.
It's really funny.
No kidding. Like when Peyton Manning made the joke about Kevin Durant, and he was saying something like, oh, I think it was like the U.S. Women's Olympic team, like they were so successful, Kevin Durant's going to join that team next year.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant, just stone cold face. It's like, just laugh at yourself.
It's an all-time clip.
Oh, I love that. Manning was great.
Yeah, he was good.
I'm a big Manning guy, no question about it. But yeah, Shane Gillis last night was hilarious. Coming up next on the program, we're going to talk a little swimming. Aberdeen Swim Club head coach Darian Stewart. He'll join us live in studio after... Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. You can also follow us on the old social media platform X, formerly Twitter, at Fox Sports 1420 AM, at @the_cobra66, and at David Tewksbury. Also, follow our next guest here as well at stingrays_ASC. That's the Aberdeen Swim Club as well. Not sure how active you guys are out there, but Darian Street joins us on the program here, and thanks for taking some time this morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. And we were talking about how unperfect we are on the show and poking fun at each other. Before we even brought you in, I screwed your name up for some reason or another. I said Darian Stewart. Is Darian Stewart a person, or is that an athlete somewhere?
I don't know. I was thinking maybe a football player. We were talking football there for a while.
Yeah, maybe I had just football top of mind, and Darian Stewart was just boom, right there in the frontal cortex. But Darian Street joining us here live in studio as the State A tournament is coming up this weekend. State B's were this last week. How did everything go there?
State B's went great last week. We ended up winning the Spirit Award, which is just an award for the team spirit. And then we also won the meet overall in point value. So across the state, we won State B's, and so coming in, we have about two teams in State A's that are bigger than us, bringing more kids in. But we'll see what we do on point wise this coming state meet. But no, State B's was a great turnout, great energy, overall great attitudes across the board.
How many teams were there at the State B then?
State B, if I'm correct, there were 10. There should be around 10 teams in the South Dakota area. So,
awesome.
Correct, there were about 10.
So where was that at this last weekend?
That was at Pier.
Okay.
Pier, South Dakota. They had a new pool that they just came out with, that they just opened this year. So they got put into the rotation for the state meets.
Gotcha. So where are the other, I'm guessing Sioux Falls, Rapid?
So there's Sioux Falls, Rapid City, Pier, Miller, Watertown, Brookings.
Obviously Aberdeen.
Obviously Aberdeen.
That goes without saying.
Yes, and I cannot off the top of my head remember other teams. I know there's others though.
Sure.
So how do you qualify then?
For the state meet, roughly you have to get a BB time, which is just a standard nationalized basically time standard. USA Swimming releases their own because of the national standard for swimming. And then every LSC in the country basically is locked into LSCs. So, like, down in Texas, you have the Gulf LSC, which is only the teams in the Gulf. South Dakota, you have the South Dakota LSC, North Dakota LSC. They all have their own time standards. But to get through our state meet, you have to meet our standards, which is a BB time roughly in the national standards. So once you get that qualifying time, then you can sign up for a race that you match that time for in state A's. We do have a secondary rule that if you only are qualified for one race, you get up to two bonus races to swim. So that's another way to get kids a little bit more races just in case they miss that time frame a little bit.
Gotcha. Darian Street joining us live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. You're throwing a couple of lingo terms I'm curious about. LSC and BB. What do those stand for and what
are
those?
So BB is more – there's no real meaning behind BB. It's more of just the actual setting of time. So you have a B time, a BB time, an A time, triple A, all the way up to a quad A time.
Okay.
That's just how they designate letter-wise the timing of races. I'm drawing a blank on what LSC fully stands for right now.
Something swim club is my guess, but I could be wrong.
I think it's overall like the location of swim clubs.
Mm, okay.
Because based on a certain like area, the swim clubs are all within that LSC.
Mm-hmm. Like a region kind of thing.
Yeah, it's type of region type of thing, yes. Mm-hmm. And it only qualifies within club teams. Once you get into high school swimming and once you get into college, LSCs don't matter anymore. LSCs don't come into factor at all.
Gotcha.
So it's only a club team recognized national concept.
Mm-hmm. So is the time change from like state A or B and A?
So B, there is no actual qualifying time to swim.
Okay.
B is considered in South Dakota as a last chance meet to get to A's.
Okay.
It is still point. It is still a point meet. It is still first through eighth place meet. But there is no actual time requirements for B's. There is time requirement for A's, but coming into the B's, you're just trying to swim your races and try to get your qualifying times. If you have a qualifying time, though, you are not allowed to swim that race in B's. You're only allowed to swim races in B's that you don't have your qualifying time for already.
So were there a couple of athletes that you had that were right on the cusp there in B that officially now made it into the A? And
yes.
What kind of worked out for them, and who would those be?
So if I am remembering names properly, I had a few swimmers that Addison Edwards, she's one of my older swimmers. We had some youngers, I think. Piper Horner got some times in. Basically, I think we had a total of 10 to 20 kids that got state qualifying times out of the, I think we had 34 swimmers that were there at B's. And what? I think out of that, 20 of them got their state qualifying times, which I think only a few of them were like right there on the press, on the precipice of getting them. A few of the kids had really good drops of like 14 seconds or 20 seconds, but a few of them were just that half second or second off their state times, which they were still also able to achieve. That came into how well they were swimming their race, their off the walls, their flip turns, how they held their technique, especially when they got tired, which is something we really hit on across this season and last season as well, was heavy technique. I've just now finally started talking race strategy with a lot of kids. I actually removed the concept of trying to talk to me about times. A lot of kids would get out of the race, walk up to me and go, "What was my time, coach? What was my time? What was my time?" And then the whole conversation would just be about time. And my whole thing in the beginning was, no, how was your race? How did you feel? How did you execute your swim? Did you hold on to your dolphin kicks? Did you hold on to your technique even when you got tired? This last home meet that we had a month or so ago, I finally started seeing swimmers come up to me. Instead of asking time, they finally looked at me and went, "Coach, I felt like I did good on that race. I could have done more dolphin kicks. I felt like I could have kicked more. Did I could have held a tighter stream on off that wall. Did you feel like you got as far? No, I feel like I could have done more." Instead of immediately coming up to me and going, "What was my time?" So now I finally opened the door to having more conversations about their actual race strategy and talking times. I'll pull up their splits from previous races going, "Hey, this is what you want to achieve," versus me going, "Cool, your focus is your Dolphin kicks, your bend into your stroke, you're making sure your head's down into your butterfly pool. Mm-hmm. So it's more going into an overall concept of speaking about race strategy and technique and not just technique anymore.
And sometimes it's not, it sounds like it's not all just about the end result. Yes, you want to have a good time, but it's kind of the process on how to get that time and how you feel during that stretch when you're in the pool. Is that fair to say?
Yes, no, absolutely. The swimming of sport is actually, I'd like to say, I kind of relate swimming to Mother Nature. She's a great thing, but she is never on your side, truly.
Just ask Brown County Speedway. Four rainouts this year.
Yeah. You can do everything right. You can do the, you can feel like you've had the most perfect race. You can feel like you were moving great in the water, and you can have the best start and walls you could think of. You still might add time. But the concept of the reason swimming becomes such a difficult sport to understand and stay with is because you have to understand that you cannot always go faster. There is going to be a time where you are stuck and you just have to work through it, and then you'll see improvement down the line. There have been times swimmers have gone a whole year or 2 years without getting any best times and then finally break over that plateau. But that's the most common concept of when you see kids quit, is they all get stuck in their first, like the next like five meets. They won't get, they'll just add time. They won't add time on top of adding time. They'll just add time from that best time every race. And they'll go, okay, that's as far as I'm going to go. I don't like this anymore. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids get really set on now, especially nowadays, the result side of if I'm not dropping time, I'm not having a good swim. And having a good swim doesn't just mean you're dropping time. Having a good swim is being able to come out of a swim going, I could have done this better, or I did this, what I've been thinking about doing for a long time. Being able to execute what you've been working on and being able to come away with something that you could improve, that's what makes a swim good, not necessarily dropping time.
Darian Street joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Not to push back, but just to play devil's advocate here
absolutely.
A little bit. Let's say you've got a sport like track and field. You know, your mm-hmm. time is your time. You know, your 40 time is whatever, or a 100-meter event, or like a 100-meter hurdles, for instance. And let's say someone says, man, I felt really good, coach, but I added a half a second. It's like, well, were you doing everything that week in training to get yourself a good time? Sounds like in swimming, even though you're not necessarily improving, you are improving your overall holistic approach to it. I mean, I don't know how to describe that, just because it feels like if you're doing the right steps, you should improve your time, you know, if A, then B, but that's not always the case. Can you kind of unpack why that's the case sometimes?
So with any sport, there's a ton of variables involved. As everyone knows, there's the training, there's the mindset, there's the devotion to what you're getting behind. Then that's only in the concept of practice. Mm-hmm. Then you go into the meet race, the actual day of the event, and you still have to do with your warm up, your cool down, your mindset, your race strategy, and then the execution of the actual swim within it. All of those concepts are pieces that are going to cause you to drop time. Mm-hmm. Or not drop time, have a good swim, not have a good swim. And that's actually going to be a conversation that's had at State A's this weekend. You mentioned the concept of, like, did you do everything you're supposed to do in practice? Some kids haven't been to practice as much as they should have. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to see the outcome that they want to see. And they're going to go, well, I did my dolphin kicks off my wall. I had my head down like you told me to do. You're right. How much have you shown up to practice this month? Mm. How much have you shown up to practice this season? Showing up two times a week isn't going to do anything for you. You can have the most willpower in the world. You can have the biggest desire to do better. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do training-wise and before hindsight, you're not going to see the outcome you want. Mm-hmm. And that's almost for any sport. Like, a lot of athletes really will talk to their coach and go, I want to see this, I want to see this, I want to do this, I want to drop time. But then at practice, they'll do the minimum effort. Mm-hmm. They'll do the minimum amount of work. They'll just do what they need to do to get by. And then they get disappointed when they don't see the results they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the same in swimming. Swimming and all the sports are the same in that concept of you have to do what you need to do outside the race to get to what you want inside the race.
Right. Right there with you.
So when you mentioned practice and the schedule, and are there days where you have like easier days and then like your hard days? Like I know when, you know, you're training for like a long distance race and running, you have like your easy runs and then you have like your tempo runs and then your hard runs. Is that similar in swimming at all?
So it depends on every coach has a different like training schedule with how they're doing kids. For my older ones, I have a day to day. So Monday's freestyle, Tuesday's backstroke, Wednesday is sprint freestyle, miscellaneous, Thursday's breaststroke, Friday is distance freestyle,
mm-hmm.
and then Saturday is IM. So that's how I split that up. And then Wednesday, we actually have a thing on our team where they have the morning practice and then the evening practice. There's a middle day practice for
them.
Two-a-days,
yeah.
Two-a-days. But that middle day practice is actually a team practice where all the groups of kids come together and they all kind of swim and play games and kind of have fun. So it's more of they get water time, but it's more of a team bonding experience. I wouldn't say I give the kids an actual off day where mm-hmm. they get to relax through training.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a firm believer in you're here to train. You need to stretch in and out of practice. You need to do what you need to do outside of practice. And then I have to hold you at a certain yardage and I need to get y'all up through yardage. Since I've gotten here on this team, I've gotten these kids up about 2,000 meters or yards up more than where they were at. When I first got here, the oldest group was doing 3,000, 3,200 meters a day.
Mm-hmm.
This last week, before we did our taper, we were consistently doing 51.
Oh, wow. That's pretty.
And the kids, and it obviously showing the kids like, oh my gosh, I'm tired, my arms hurt, and I'm like, you gotta get over it a little bit. And like, you're gonna be tired. Like we're in the build up right now. I'll bump you back down after state, but I gotta build y'all up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, we're looking forward to this upcoming event this weekend. It's the State A tournament, of course, right here in the Hub City this upcoming weekend. We'll take a timeout. More with Darian Street after this on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Darian Street, head coach of the Aberdeen Swim Club, the Stingrays here in studio on FSA. State A tournament coming up here this weekend in the Hub City. And is it a one-day, two-day, three-day?
It's a three-day. We'll start at warm-ups. We'll start at 9 a.m. on Friday. We'll go about until 6:30 in the evening on Friday. And it'll kind of be the same scheduling. We're going to start a little earlier, I think around 7:30-ish the next 2 days. We'll get out a little earlier, probably around 4 or 5 on Sunday. But it's a weekend-long meet, Friday through Sunday.
Pretty strenuous.
It'll be an all-day thing.
No doubt.
By the end of the weekend, kids will be like, "I'm tired. I want to go to bed. I want to go home. I'm done."
I say that all the time. I'm 34.
I'm gonna say that's a real concept for us.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, what's the challenge of keeping the kids engaged for such a long period of time like that?
So with swim meets, they're a bit more open. I know other sports usually you're like together as a team set up.
Mm-hmm.
Away meets, that's more like closer to a concept. But especially at home meets, they're off with their families. We expect them to come talk to us before and after the races, before to talk about how to execute the race, and after kind of get the recap of how they did, what we saw, how they felt, and then to go over their times. Engagement-wise, that's really up to them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't actually keep them. I mean, we keep them from running around and going playing tag and going crazy on each other, obviously, because yeah. Some kids will, for some reason, think it's a great idea to play a game of football or tag or something else in the between the races. You'll catch some kids laying out in the sun having a suntan session. I'm like, no, cover up. Go back in your tent. Stay out of the sun. You're going to kill all your energy because
sure.
the sun just steeps out your energy.
Mm-hmm.
So swimming really is a weird sport of hurry up and wait. You're kind of just relaxing, stretching, just preparing for your race until that race happens, and you're doing it all over again until your next race.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily an engagement game. It's more of a keeping yourself ready to swim your races, even after 2 days of swimming five different races, two different relays, and then you're here to do it again for the third day of swimming another 2 to 3 races with another relay.
What's that old expression? You don't have to get ready if you stay ready?
Yes.
Kind of thing? You know, that sounds
That's a consistent probably standpoint, yes. Especially we have the unique struggle of not having a warm-up cool-down pool at this location due to how our pool is set up.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to kind of give a general break at certain points to let kids swim and warm up.
Lazy river's right there. I mean,
I love it. I love it.
that'd be a perfect cool down, lazy river.
I've seen too many of my kids jump into there and just start running and sprinting through the lazy river and diving at each other and trying to chicken war each other in the pool. And so the fact that I can't see that pool from where I'm at always gives me the thought process of, which one of my kids is about to snap their arm in that pool or do something very dumb?
Yeah, you don't want that.
That's been a running comment this week of, hey,
be smart.
The week before your staper, hang out, chill, do not do dumb stuff.
Sure.
Like, do not get hurt. We had a team breakfast yesterday, and my comment said again, I was like, sleep, eat, relax. Do not go do dumb things.
Yeah. Kids nowadays, man, these are the things they got to deal with. I mean, it's got to be kind of a, I don't want to say a headache because that's where the fun comes in, but it can be a little frustrating, I suppose.
Well, I mean, yeah, especially with, I'd say, the difference between our generation and the new generation. The old generation, we did a lot of dumb stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we didn't care. But it was also you did that? Suck it up. Like, get over it. You made that choice. Go deal with it.
Sure.
Here it's nowadays it's not as much of, go suck it up. It's, shouldn't have done that. Like, no, we got to figure this out now. It's, no, suck it up. Go deal with it. Like, you made that decision. I tried to warn you. You get to eat what you made on this one.
Yeah. Welcome to the real world.
Yes.
It's going to be all right.
That's my one thing that I try to make a comment about. A lot of kids that stay up all night the night before or don't stretch like they're supposed to, and they'll come to me and they're like, I'm sore, I hurt, I'm tired, I didn't get much sleep last night. And I'm like, I didn't go to bed till 3 last night. What's your excuse?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think I've gone to bed past 12 o'clock the last month. It's just how it is.
Hey, 2 o'clock hits, it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm usually in bed by then, but it's a whole other story.
So you mentioned the kind of the team breakfast and things. Are you kind of talking about the expectations for the upcoming tournament or what with that? I know you're probably with different groups of kids and different age groups. I guess I'm confused a little bit about is you got the older kids, you got the younger kids. So everybody's kind of different. How do you kind of manage that?
So everyone's different in how they're training just because of different ages and different levels of swimming and what you expect out of kids. Generally, it's expected that the older ones go through a kind of type of taper. They start gradually going down. This last season, short course season, I had them go through a 2-week taper. I have now made the decision that they only get a 1-week taper. That's just based on what I've seen, how much they've attended practice, how much I've seen through practice.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need more than a week taper. So that's just a discussion with them going, hey, now we're moving down. As we wind down, this should be getting your energy levels back up. The littler kids, like the groups 1 and 2, which are the little kids from 6 years old all the way up to 10, 11, sometimes 12, they're the ones that were like not that we don't worry about as much, but they don't require as much nitpicking in their training schedule because they're so little, they bounce back so fast. We had to cancel practice twice this week for the little ones because they practice in the middle of the day. Tuesday, we had rain and thunderstorms, couldn't have practice. Wednesday, it was just cold throughout the whole day, and the little ones just were not going to have fun. I'm holding practice today, even though it's cold, but that's also because like I can't have them out of the water for 3 days.
Right.
Like we're gonna embrace the suck a little bit here.
Yeah.
Now, I could kind of afford to get away with it. But back to your comment, it is a struggle sometimes to go across all the groups and try to manage all the different trainings and level of what they need. Mm-hmm. But you more of just take it as a step-to-step basis. I've gone about this team as allowing my coaches to be the mains of certain groups. So it's not me maining every group.
Sure.
I have coaches that are the leads for all groups, for their specific groups, mm-hmm. so that I don't have to nitpick everything that's going on in every single group. Mm-hmm. I mainly focus on group four. I have a coach, Coach Alexia. She used to swim for Northern. She does group three. Coach Lisa, she does group one. Coach Amanda, and there's Coach Jess, and myself mainly do group two. So it kind of just enables us to spread out the job and allows us to focus on the specific groups instead of all the kids going, what are we doing, to one individual person.
Sure.
It's kind of like you're the head coach and you've got coordinators and a special teams yes. coordinator and a tight ends coach. It's kind of like that.
Yes.
Yeah, if that makes sense. Darian Street here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. You were talking about in the Class B championships last weekend, you guys won kind of the Champions of Character sort of deal, like the Spirit Award yes. or whatever. Was that a surprise or is that
– no.
Because it sounds like you've got – some guys and gals that are very, very high quality character when you come up with a crown like that.
So Spirit Award is kind of I don't know about a given, but it's been very known that Aberdeen comes at the events with Spirit, with our team of Spirit. We always have our day set out of what we're supposed to dress up at certain times, like this weekend. Friday is like blue Aberdeen shirt, blue out as much as you can. And then Saturday is our state shirt, which is kind of neon, so we're doing more neon. And then Sunday is Hawaiian Day.
Nice.
I have a lot of my stuff coming still in the mail. It was supposed to show up yesterday, but due to, I guess, some weather, it's set to show up tomorrow. So we'll see what I do tomorrow for the Blue Out Day. But it is not a surprise that we won the Spirit Award in the grand scheme of things, especially with as many kids and families that got to be able to show up to State B's. Mm-hmm. Our kids and families have always been great with the team spirit and the atmosphere of being able to cheer for each other and coming out and supporting the actual team.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about, right? Supporting each other.
Absolutely. Swimming ends up in a weird spot where we kind of like track. I'd say it's almost like the most similar like track and golf. Y'all train as a team, but you compete as individuals. And so being able to come out and still support each other when you're racing each other is a great thing for a team to have. It's never fun when you go to a meet and your whole team is sitting there hanging out alone with no one, and then you're swimming alone and no one's cheering you on.
Yeah.
It's a whole different atmosphere when you hit a wall and you see seven of your teammates staring down at you going, go, 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 go. It's a whole different atmosphere of how you approach a race and how you enjoy your actual race and push yourself.
I'm not breaking any news here. I'm not a swimmer, but if I were, I would want to have my teammates right there cheering me on, because if not, then it feels like, well, what am I doing this for? Just for myself? No, you're doing it for your teammates. You're doing it for your city, your family, you know, all those sorts of things. Maybe final one or two before we get you out of here. Expectations for this upcoming weekend. I know you're just talking about getting a little bit better every day. Is there maybe a couple of swimmers in particular that maybe they've got some expectations on themselves? And I guess just your overall thoughts on this upcoming weekend.
Expectations overall, I expect to see a few best swims out of a few kids. A few of them would probably be Molly Larson. She's actually been out of the pool a lot for softball, but she's been asking me for practices every day to go to the Y and swimmer practices. So I'm excited to see how she actually does through this meet. Easton Ketterling, and Lula Karst. Lula Karst and Easton Ketterling have really been putting the work in. They're set to actually go to zones here in the next month or so as well. So they're actually, this isn't their last meet for them. But I also have an international swimmer that came from Ecuador where he's actually swimming this meet as well. I'm excited to see how he is. He's been with us for the last month training with us as well. But no, I expect to see a lot of good energy and a lot of good best swims from a few of these kids. I'm also expecting to see a lot of deeper motivational conversations happening at this meet about how much you want to be at swimming, how much you love swimming, and really an eye-opening conversation for a few kids going, hey, this is how you did. This is how you wanted to do. How do we improve from here of how much we're putting into the sport?
Kobe, you got any more?
No, I'm good.
I think I am too. Looking forward to it this upcoming weekend. I think we asked you this last time you were here about a month or so ago. It's all free to attend, open to the public, right?
Absolutely. Show up if you want to hang out and see. We'll have concessions. There'll be seating. If you want to come out and watch the races, come out and watch the races. Absolutely.
All right, right on. Darian Street joining us live in studio. That's Street, not Stewart. Thanks again for doing this, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you all for having me.
Absolutely. Darian Street here live on FSA. We'll come on back and wrap up this Thursday installment of The Hub after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to head coach Darian Street for taking time out of his busy schedule and joining us here. And weather for the upcoming weekend looks pretty solid for the tournament there as well. So a little bit cooler, I guess, upper 70s tomorrow, but looking like upper 70s on Saturday and I think low 80s by Sunday. So it should be a pretty nice weekend to be
out there. Yeah, I wonder what the ideal swimming racing weather looks like. Would you say mid-80s?
I'd say like low to mid-80s.
Okay. Yeah. It looks like a pretty good weekend. 78 there Saturday and low 80s Sunday. A little bit on the cooler side, like you said. Probably not average temps this time of year, but hey, a little cooler doesn't hurt anybody.
No doubt about it. And, you know, speaking of cold, the Aberdeen Wings season schedule is officially out as yesterday the Blaine Showcase was announced, and they'll take on the Wisconsin Windigo. It's a fun name to say. The Wisconsin Windigo, that'll be on Wednesday. Puck drop is slated for 6:30 there. Off day on Thursday, and then this kind of piqued my interest. Wings will take on the USA U-17 team. They're called the NTDP, the National Team Development Program, at 5:15 on Friday, then wrap up things against the Fairbanks Ice Dogs on Saturday at 3 o'clock. All of those games, of course, on 94.1 The Rock with Cy Evanuk. But yeah, USA U-17 team there on Friday. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that must be a lot of fun to say on the broadcast.
Yeah, have fun with that one, Cy. NTDP, the National Team Development Program, 5:15. So check out the news story of that on our website, hubcityradio.com. Cowherd is coming up at the top of the hour. We're back at tomorrow, FSA.